Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman member by Avram Goldar and today Maseches Horios Daf Gimel, the first Perek Horu Basedin. The Zichud Maseches Horios program has been generously sponsored by the Berger family, who is Zecher Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyam ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, if Basedin mistakenly ruled to permit one type of chalev and a minority of the Kahal acted on the ruling, then Basedin retracted the ruling, then later again issued this ruling and another minority acted accordingly, do the two groups combine to form a majority to obligate a parlam davar? Do we say, kevin de shtei yediyus ninu lomitztarif, since they occurred in two periods of awareness, they do not combine, or since they were both about the same type of chalev, they do combine? The Gemara asks, assuming these would combine, would two minorities who follow two rulings about different types of chalev combine, since they're both chalev, or not, since their prohibitions are derived from different words? If they do combine, would two minorities who sinned based on rulings about chalev and dam, respectively, combine? On the one hand, they are different isurim, but on the other hand, their carbon is the same, a kisva or a seira. If these also combine, would minorities for chalev and avodah zorah also combine, since they're both karis, or not, since the karbanos differ because idolatry specifically obligates a se'ira? Point number two, Rabbi Yonasan said that if 100 judges gather to issue a ruling, ein chayavim ad she'yora kulan, they are not chayav to bring a parlam davar for a mistaken ruling unless they all ruled, but not if one judge abstained, because the pasuk says, v'im kol adas Yisrael yishku, and if all the assembly of Israel shall err, teaching there is no karban ad she'yishku kulan, until they all err. This is supported from the fact that throughout the Torah, rubo kakulo, the majority of something is considered like all of it, yet here, the Torah specifically wrote all the assembly, implying that all the judges must rule. Rav Mesharshia eventually disproves this from a brisa teaching, that the rabbis may not make a gezera, elim ken rov hatzibur yechoin lamud ba, unless most of the public can withstand it. This is derived from a pasuk which says, hagoy kulo, the entire nation, yet a majority of the nation suffices. Rabbi Yonasan's law is thus refuted, and the phrase "kol das Yisrael" instead teaches "ii kakulam hav yehora." If all the judges are present, it's a legitimate ruling, but not if any judge is missing. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if Basedin issued a mistaken ruling and retracted, and an individual acted on their ruling unaware of the retraction, Rabbi Shimon exempts him from achatas regardless of whether they had already brought the parlam davar or not. Blazer says, Suffolk, it's doubtful if he's considered one who relied on Basedin, since he was unaware of the retraction, but could have found out about it, and therefore brings an Ashim Tawi for the doubtful transgression. This is only if he was at home, but if he traveled overseas, he's pater. Rabbi Kiva explained, She Yosha Bebeso Efshar Hayolo Shishma. The one sitting at home had the possibility of hearing about Basin's retraction had he asked about it, and is therefore not definitively considered to have relied on Basin. But the one who traveled overseas could not have found out about the retraction. In a brisa, Rabbi Meir says he's chayv to bring achatas, and Sumka says Tauli. His action is dangling, meaning uncertain if there's a carbon. Rabbi Yochan explains that Sumkas argues with Rabbi Lazar and holds he is not chayv in Ashim Tauli. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara asks, if Basedin mistakenly ruled to permit one type of chalev, and a minority of the Kahal acted on their ruling, then Basedin retracted the ruling, then later again issued this ruling, and another minority acted accordingly, do the two groups combine to form a majority to obligate a parlam davar? Do we say, kevin de shtei yediyus ninu lomitztarif, since they occurred in two periods of awareness, they do not combine, or since they were both about the same type of chalev, they do combine? The Gemara asks, assuming these would combine, would two minorities who follow two rulings about different types of chalev combine, since they're both chalev, or not, since their prohibitions are derived from different words? If they do combine, would two minorities who sinned based on rulings about chalev and dam, respectively, combine? On the one hand, they are different isurim, but on the other hand, their carbon is the same, a kisva or a seira. If these also combine, would minorities for chalev and avodah zorah also combine, since they're both karis, or not, since the karbanos differ because idolatry specifically obligates a se'ira? Point number two, Rabbi Yonasan said that if 100 judges gather to issue a ruling, ein chayavim ad she'yora kulan, they are not chayav to bring a parlam davar for a mistaken ruling unless they all ruled, but not if one judge abstained, because the pasuk says, v'im kol adas Yisrael yishku, and if all the assembly of Israel shall err, teaching there is no karban ad she'yishku kulan, until they all err. This is supported from the fact that throughout the Torah, rubo kakulo, the majority of something is considered like all of it, yet here, the Torah specifically wrote all the assembly, implying that all the judges must rule. Rav Masharshia eventually disproves this from a Braisa teaching that the rabbis may not make a gezerah elim ken rov hatzibur yechoin lamud ba, unless most of the public can withstand it. This is derived from a pasuk which says hagoy kulo, the entire nation, yet a majority of the nation suffices. Rav Yonasan's law is thus refuted, and the phrase kol das Yisrael instead teaches ii kakulam hav yehora. If all the judges are present, it's a legitimate ruling, but not if any judge is missing. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if Beis Din issued a mistaken ruling and retracted, and an individual acted on their ruling unaware of the retraction, Rabbi Shimon exempts him from achatas regardless of whether they had already brought the parlam davar or not. Blazer says, Suffolk, it's doubtful if he's considered one who relied on basin since he was unaware of the retraction, but could have found out about it, and therefore brings an Ashim Tali for the doubtful transgression. This is only if he was at home, but if he traveled overseas, he's pater. Rabbi Kiva explained, She Yoshev Bebeso Efshar Hayelo Sheyishma. The one sitting at home had the possibility of hearing about Basin's retraction had he asked about it, and is therefore not definitively considered to have relied on Basin. But the one who traveled overseas could not have found out about the retraction. In a Braisa, Rabbi Meir says he's chayv to bring achatas, and Sumka says Tauli. His action is dangling, meaning uncertain if there's a carbon. Rabbi Yochanan explains that Sumkas argues with Rabbi Lazar and holds he is not chayv in Ashim Tauli. All right, so now we got our siman daf gimel, and our standard siman is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The two men on camels from different minorities of the Kahal, who acted on Beis Din's ruling, who got together to combine as a majority, met up with a dayan on a camel who abstained at a ruling, who was informing a man who acted on Beis Din's ruling after they retracted that he was putter from bringing achatas. Once again, in slow motion. The two men on camels, that must be on daf gimel gamal. The two men on camels from different minorities of the Kahal who acted on Beis Din's ruling, who got together to combine as a majority, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if Beis Din mistakenly ruled to permit one type of chalev, and a minority of the Kahal acted on their ruling, then Beis Din retracted their ruling, then later again issued this ruling, and another minority acted accordingly, do the two groups combine to form a majority to obligate a parlam davar? Do we say kevin d'shtei yediyus ninu l'mitzdarif, since they occurred in two periods of awareness, they do not combine, or since they were both about the same type of chalev, they do combine? So the two men on camels from different minorities of the Kahal who acted on Beis Din's ruling, who got together to combine as a majority, met up with a dayan on a camel who abstained at a ruling, which reminds us, Rabbi Yonasan said that if 100 dayanim gathered to issue a ruling, they are not liable to bring a parlam davar for a mistaken ruling unless they all ruled, but not if one judge abstained, because the pasuk says, "Vim kol das Yisrael yishku," and if all the assembly of Yisrael shall err, teaching there's no carbon ad sheyishku kulan until they all err. Rabbi Yonasan's law is then refuted, and the phrase kol das Yisrael instead teaches yika kulam hav yehara. If all the judges are present, it's a legitimate ruling, but not if any judge is missing. So the two men on camels from different minorities of the Kahal who acted on Beis Din's ruling, who got together to combine as a majority, met up with a dayan on a camel who abstained at a ruling, who was informing a man who acted on Beis Din's ruling after they retracted that he was putter from bringing achatas, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if Beis Din issued a mistaken ruling and retracted, and an individual acted on their ruling unaware of the retraction, Rabbi Shimon exempts him from achatas regardless of whether they had already brought the parlam davar or not. Rabbi Lazar says, Suffolk, it's doubtful if he's considered one who relied on Beis Din since he was unaware of the retraction but could have found out about it, and therefore brings an Ashim Tali for the doubtful transgression. This is only if he was at home, but if he traveled overseas, he's exempt. So once again, the two men on camels from different minorities of the Kahal who acted on Beis Din's ruling, who got together to combine as a majority, met up with a dayan on a camel who abstained at a ruling, who was informing a man who acted on Beis Din's ruling after they retracted that he was putter from bringing achatas. All right, so now it's time for four Balabach Chazara. Daf Ein Dal, so the Siman Daf Ein Dal, it is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must be on Daf Ein Dal, aid. The witness who saw a shore and Niskel enter a pen and get mixed in with the other oxen, making them all usur, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Elo asurin v'osrin v'koshu. The following items are prohibited and prohibit a mixture with even a minimal amount, meaning they're never batal, even among 1,000 permitted pieces. Yai nesach, an idol. Oros levuvim, heart-pierced animal skins. Shohan niskal, an ox sentence to be stoned. An egla roof of the birds brought by Matsora, and Nazar's hair, Petra Chamor, a firstborn male donkey, following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it is Aser Bahana, Basa Bachalav, meat cooked with milk, the Sira Mishtoeach, and Chun animals which were shechted in the Azara. So the witness who saw a Shor HaNiskal enter a pen and get mixed in with the other oxen, making them all Aser, was standing near another witness who testified that the wine cellar or barrels containing one barrel of Yain Nesach can be sold to a goy, minus the value of the Yain Nesach barrel, which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, the Tanakhama rules that if Yain Nesach fell into a pit of wine, it's all forbidden in benefit. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the entire mixture can be sold to an Akum except for the Yain Nesach's value, meaning he can't charge for the Yain Nesach. Rav says the halacha falls with Mishnah Gamliel on a case of Chavis B'Chavios, a prohibited barrel which became mixed among permitted barrels. So the witness who saw a Shor HaNiskal enter a pen and get mixed in with other oxen, making them all Aser, was standing near a witness who testified that the wine cellar or barrels containing one barrel of Yain Nesach can be sold to a goy minus the value of the Yain Nesach barrel, and got wet and dirty when a yid was drying a nearby stone wine press to kasher, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Gashel Evan Shizvasav Ovid Kochavim, a stone wine press which an idolater coated with pitch, in which wine was commonly added, Menagva Vihitahora. One dries it and it is purified from forbidden wine. The Gemara explains it is dried with water and ash. Revi says a press made of wood can also be dried, but the Chamim say Yikuapas Azephas, he must peel off the pitch coating because the greater absorption in this thicker coating is not purified by drying. Daf Ayin Hey, so the Simmer Daf Ayin Hey is an Am Haaretz. So here goes. The Am Haaretz, Am Haaretz, that must be on Daf Ayin Hey. The Am Haaretz, who is totally confused trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and drying wine presses using water and ash, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the process for drying an Akum's wine press using Mayim and Afer, and also discuss how many applications must be done. So the Am Haaretz, who is totally confused trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and dry wine presses using water and ash, had sent his son to Toivel the new kelim he bought from idolaters, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that all the kelim purchased from idolaters additionally require immersion in a mikvah of 40 saw. This is derived from the pasuk, which requires removing flavor which was absorbed through fire to be removed with fire, which concludes v'taher, and it will become pure, which teaches that the Torah added another requirement for purification, referring to tevila. Rabbi Bravua adds that this requirement even applies to new kalim, which were never used for non-kosher foods. So the Am Haaretz, who was totally confused trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and dry wine presses using water and ash, had sent his son to Toivel the new kalim he bought from idolaters, not realizing it only applied to kalim used for food and not his cloak scissors, which reminds us, Rav Sheshes challenged Rabbi Bravua's ruling that new kelim require tevila. If so, even cloak scissors should also require tevila, since the requirement is unrelated to flavor absorption. He answered, Kli Suda Amurim Baparsha. The section of the Torah teaching this law only discusses kelim for meals, meaning for food. Daf Ayin Vav. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Vav is an IV, intravenous. So here goes. As the doctor explained why the medicine prepared for the IV bags, IV, that must be on Daf Ayin Vav, intravenous. As the doctor explained why the medicine prepared for the IV bags can be made on a grill used every day without worrying about the bliyot, because b'chol yom nasa giul chavero, which reminds us, the mission the previous daf taught, ha-shaputim ba'askol melabnim ba'ur, spits and grills purchased from an akum are purged in fire. Rav Amram asks Rav Sheshes that this contradicts a mission regarding kachim, which states about these utensils, magalim b'chamin, one purges them in hot water to remove the absorbed flavor of previous karbanas. Rava answers that kachim does not require leaven because b'chol yom v'yom nasa gilul chavero. Each and every day becomes a purging for the previous day's absorption, meaning each day's cooking of kachim removes the previous day's flavor before it becomes nosar. So as the doctor explained why the medicine prepared for the IV bags can be made on a grill used every day without worrying about the blios becoming expired because b'chol yom nasa gilul chavero, and the intern responded that it's not a problem because when it was absorbed, it was hetter. Which reminds us, Rav Ashi returns to Rav Sheshes' original answer. Actually, the answer is like it was said initially. Hacha heter bal hasam isur bal. Here, regarding kachim, permitted flavor was absorbed before it was nosar, whereas there, regarding an akum's utensil, forbidden flavor was absorbed. So as the doctor explained why the medicine prepared for the IV bags can be made on a grill used every day without worrying about the blios becoming expired because b'chol yom nasa gilul chavero, and the intern responded that it's not a problem because when it was absorbed, it was hetter. A surgeon in the same room stuck a scalpel on the ground 10 times before cutting himself a piece of esrog, which reminds us the Mishnah taught about an Akum's knife, shafa v'hi tahora. One scrapes it on a grindstone and it is pure. Rav Huka Bar Chama adds, "V'notza asar pami b'karka," and he thrusts it into the ground 10 times. Abraisa says the same, provided the knife has no indentations. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says this method is only effective lechol batzonin, to eat cold food with a knife, because it removes non-kosher residue from the surface, but does not remove flavor absorbed into the knife. This is seen from the incident about Mar Yehuda and Bati Bar Tovi, who were sitting before Shvur Malka, who was slicing pieces of an esrog to give them. Dav Beis, so the Simran Dav Beis is a bias, a house. So here goes. At the Horia's house, Dav Masmuran Dav Beis, bias, house. At the Horia's house were one man who was told the basin was informed by a rabbi that he was pater from bringing a carbon, which reminds us, the first mission begins, Horu basin lavor alachis mikol mitzvah samuras b'torah. A basin ruled erroneously to permit any one of the mitzvahs said in the Torah which incur karis, the halacha yachid v'asid shogeg al pihem, and an individual went and acted mistakenly on their word, meaning he followed their psak, whether the basin acted on the ruling and he acted along with them or after them, or even if they never acted on their ruling, but he did, he is pater from a carbon, mipnei shetol b'basin, because he relied on basin. So at the Horia's house, where one man who was told b'basin was informed by a rabbi that he was pater from bringing a carbon, and another man in the kitchen confused a piece of chalev with a piece of permitted fat and ate the chalev that basin had permitted, which reminds us, Rav made an inference from the Mishnah Bedik case, where Basin mistakenly permitted chalev to eat, and he confused a piece of chalev with a piece of permitted fat and ate the chalev. In the first version, Rav infers to exempt the transgressor from a carbon because although he did not eat the chalev based on their ruling, since he never intended to eat the chalev, he still would have eaten it had he realized it was chalev since Basin had permitted it. In the second version, Rav infers that he is chai of a carbon, since his transgression did not actually result from their ruling, but from his confusing the pieces. So at the Horio's house, where one man who was told a basin was informed by a rabbi that he was pater from bringing a carbon, and another man in the kitchen confused a piece of chalev with a piece of permitted fat and ate the chalev the basin had permitted, the chachamim upstairs hung out a sign from the window informing the crowd below that an individual who followed the mistaken psak of basin must bring a carbon, which reminds us that the chachamim hold that a tol b'basin is chayv a carbon. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we learn that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tol b'basin is pater from bringing a carbon? That's on daf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn the list of things which are forbidden and are osrim b'kolshu, such as ashar and niskal? That's on daf Ayin Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss combining different minorities of transgressors into a majority? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we distinguish between a cleaves for kachimen and an alchemist utensil with haka hetera bala haka isura bala? That's on daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss whether the Paralem Davar obligation requires all of the Dayanim to rule, or if one can abstain and they'd still be chayv? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss selling wine into which Yain Nesach was mixed, except for the Yain Nesach's value? That's on daf Ayin Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss what the din is for a Yachid who acts on Basin's ruling after they retracted? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn? Kol yom v'yom nasa gilu chavero. Each and every day becomes a purging for the previous day's absorption. That's on daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we distinguish between a cleaves for kachimen and an alchemy's utensil with haka hetera bala haka isura bala? That's on daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that rishon batal? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri, wishing you a great day and great learning.